Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Finero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby. They come. Wait, two.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever episode 207. Here, as always, with the feverish Finero and FF underscore spaceman. Spaceman, why do I have to put an at in front of spaceman, but I just say feverish Finero?
Maybe you're afraid that I'm on the moon or something. I don't know. So you got to figure out where I'm at.
Here, as always, with spaceman. I don't know.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
I know. How many intros do the guests want or the listeners want in one show? We should make our listeners guests from now on. And then that part, at least that part of the show isn't a mistake. Everything going forward, maybe. So, cheese and rice, week one is in the books. Crazy week. I wonder if we can get to the predictions without letting them know who is the current leader for the week. Or if they listened well enough to figure it out and know how. I picked Trey Sermon. So speaking of spaceman and numbers, let's talk about the numbers 4 and 9 in the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan, my new worst enemy. How many times did you guys start Brandon Ayuk?
Oh, wow. I got a bunch of goose eggs out of Ayuk. It's crazy, dude. Like, too much. I when you get one of those goose eggs, you realize how many. I remember Carr did that to me in the playoffs last year, where he got hurt or something, and you realize how much exposure you have to a player when you get one of those goose eggs. And I'm happy to report that I survived 3/4 of my IU goose eggs, but he did hurt me in one league, so I was a little pissed about that.
A lot, and I mean, yeah. It was at what time in the day? I don't know. Exactly what I was doing, but the first I heard of Trey Sermon being out was from Feverish.
Yep.
And I was doing stuff and I'm like, oh my gosh, because I've got the fever and you guys guessed Dave Feverish. You make fun of me if you want, but I was starting Trey Sermon in every league I had him, which was only 2 and then the 1 best ball. Listeners are like, that's a lot, but that's out of like 25 leagues. So it's really not that much. But I did have 2 shares started where I had to get home, figure out what I was going to do. And Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, man.
We do not speak his name.
You've been bunked. Like, walk the plank. Kyle Shanahan is not a friend of the show.
I had 4 Mosterts starting. Opposite of your sermon, and I figured, well, you know, the guy's healthy, so I'm like, oh, let me get that healthy game out of him, and nope, not even 1 game.
Yeah,
I did the same thing. I did the same thing with Mostert. Started him over Gaskin. That was, I mean, Gaskin didn't crush or anything, but that was, I had Elijah Mitchell on the bench there. But then, to be honest, I wasn't ready for this rookie rewind with Ayuk. This cut me deep. It cut me deep. I wasn't ready for it. I did survive both places where I had him, getting the W, but. The thing with he who should not be named, aka Kyle Shanahan, is that he, when everything's going right, it's his, you know, he's the genius. When everything's going right, he's moving the chess pieces and whatever, but when everything's wrong, oh no, it's Jimmy Garoppolo's fault. It's someone else's fault. But it's never Shanahan's fault.
It does get interesting though when people are drawing the attention to all these high draft picks that they've had over the last few years and how it's actually panned out. But
I'm at the point where, you know, and I know we're going to talk about Elijah Mitchell's, you know, in this top 12. I think everybody listening to the show knows that he's probably pretty high on this list. I'm actually getting to the point where any running back in this backfield, I don't know if I want a piece of anymore. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like it's going to be just like dad. You know, it's just going to be a different player every 3 or 4 games, and it just doesn't have any value in fantasy to have one player for 3 or 4 games. Wilson's going to come back in, what, 7 weeks? Like, it's just, I don't know, man. I think Trey Sermon owners just had a small peek at what's possible.
So let me stop you there then. Are you selling Elijah Mitchell?
I mean, the only place I it's funny. I liked Elijah Mitchell because of our rookie profiles. He was mentioned as the last question in every profile is like, you know, give me a player that you're kind of backing that maybe isn't, you know, on anyone's radar. And Elijah mm-hmm. Mitchell came up twice, and so I have him in a couple places. I didn't try to get him with any fab. I felt like just let someone else use their fab because, like, I told you where I am with him. But with that being said, I drafted him in Scott Fish, so that kind of feels nice. So
same here, high five, yeah. Rookie fever. Let's go, baby.
I already had him on my squad, so that's kind of nice. But yeah, I mean, he feels like a sell to me, definitely. I, for all the reasons I just said, I feel like I'm just kind of out on. I feel like the most favorable place that anybody wants their running back to go, which is why the Trey Sermon hype got so crazy, is San Francisco. Like, that's the one. And I just feel like my concerns about Trey Sermon coming in, about it being a committee, about it being a guy every other week, was kind of confirmed by him not playing. Now, there's been reasons for this. Like, we've heard that maybe he wasn't completely healthy. Maybe there was some knees on special teams or whatever. I don't think it doesn't look good when your undrafted free rookie is starting in front of you. It just doesn't look good.
Right.
I don't care about the skill sets one or the other way. It just doesn't look great. And I think Shanahan's also proven that, you know, draft capital doesn't mean anything to him. You know, he has a little bit of history of that, too.
Because he's bad at it. That's why.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's why. You know? And now even with, you know, the aforementioned Ayuk, even, like, there's a soundbite with him saying, you know, hey, if you're not as good as the player that's in front of you, then you're not playing. You know, and it's just like, wow, you know, where did this come from?
It's a joke. That's what it is. That is, it's a lot. That's not being truthful. Trent Sherfield is not better than Ayuk. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
It's not truthful.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and he knows that too, Sherfield. I mean, what did he have? Like 2 or 3 targets? They hardly even used him in the game.
I think Sherfield's mom knows Ayuk's better.
Yeah. I'm sure she does. No joke, though.
Just saying. I mean,
yeah. I mean, she was rooting for him and stuff, but.
She knows what's up.
Yeah.
I did like that question, though, Swags, about is he a sell for Finero? And I would say for me, when I had to pay, I drafted him in the 3rd round. That's where I got him in my rookie drafts. Maybe I could get a 2nd round, but I'm not getting a 1st round for him. And when I, like, these like bench fillers for me, these running, I have a lot of running backs on a lot of my squads. What I'm trying to do is either get usable weeks out of them, which Elijah Mitchell is going to give me in the next couple of weeks. Or I want to sell them for a significant return on investment. And I don't think that second gets me exactly where I want to be quite yet. So I'm going to hold for a little bit more. And it might not turn out, and I'll just have to hold them again until mm-hmm. I can get more usable weeks out of them.
And I think one thing we do as analysts in trying to figure out potential trades for players, maybe a little too often, like myself included, is we try to figure out that pick value. And do you want a 1st, 2nd, or 3rd? And there's so many more variables to it than just going after picks and worrying about future. Like I saw somebody in a chat mention that the offer on the table was Mitchell and a 2nd for Dobbins. And honestly, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I was like, go get Dobbins. Like, yeah, I'm doing that. Absolutely. So there are different things you can do. You can find those teams and attack like the people that are maybe a little bit more concerned about Eckler now. Maybe they drafted Akers, Dobbins. Some of these guys are running backs that they're concerned about. You go attack those teams and see if you can fit their needs and take advantage of their situation. Not your situation, but their situation. And not by like overvaluing a player, but something that, like you said, Dave, could kind of help your long-term success rather than just right now. Because really, like, you didn't draft Mitchell in any of your drafts, be it your rookie draft or your startup draft, planning to get this out of him week 1.
100%. Yeah, I didn't. That's what he was. I wasn't starting him anywhere. So, yeah, 100%. I agree. I was not thinking he was going to get me anything week 1.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess that's... I'm looking at moves more like that because it's too hard. I mean, I'll even go like, I'll find that team that I mentioned that fits my needs. And then I'm like, oh, they don't even have any picks. So, you know what I mean? So it's just limiting your market if you're only looking for picks. And man, so many teams do that too. Like you'll see like, You do get put in those positions all the time where they're like, Elijah Mitchell's on the block. I'm looking for picks only. And I don't know. And then you draft Trey Sermon with those picks and trade Elijah Mitchell away.
Swags, I know we have to get into this top 12, but I have one really quick question.
It's so hard. It's such a crazy week one.
I wanted to ask you this ever since Elijah Mitchell did what he did this weekend, and I haven't, and I waited for the show, and that is, what is the difference in your mind? Because I can tell you're not real high on him, but you were really high when Robinson did this. What's the difference in your mind?
The committee there and the uncertainty of week one, and you know, knowing that they did move up to get Trey Sermon still, and I believe that like there's probably a little bit of like nonsense talk in the Trey Sermon stuff too. Like I'm sure that Shanahan has seen something in Sermon he likes to where he's going to get an opportunity at some point in this backfield. He also mentioned that he wants to dress four running backs a game, but in that game he decided to dress three and he made Sermon the odd man out for whatever reason, whether that was a good decision or not. But now, I mean, they're going to still be dressing three running backs minimal, and you have Trey Sermon, and it's just I don't trust that backfield to not be in some kind of like weird rotation that's hard for us to figure out. The opportunity and kind of wondering what's I feel like there's still more to unfold in that backfield from a seasonal standpoint than there was in Jacksonville last year. Like last year when, you know what I mean? With James Robinson, like Fournette was already shipped out. Travis Etienne obviously wasn't there yet. Much different than the way we were even going into the season this year. So
Raquel Armstead was in his second year and he was on the COVID list for like the first half of the season, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. So there's just nobody there.
They had a couple other guys that aren't in the NFL or really in roles anymore, like Divine Ozigbo. Yeah, a couple guys like that. But it was just like the opportunity that I thought he had in Jacksonville. I don't know.
Swags, are you wearing a Rookie Fever shirt?
Let me see that. I don't move.
Whoa, I like it. Got rookies.
It's all right.
Nice. Swash. Where'd you get it in red? Where'd you get that, Swag?
I got it at the Rookie Fever store, and I'll leave the link in the show. I've got to do some more updating. I'm behind on some stuff, but you guys got to check it out. We got stickers over there, t-shirts, sweatshirts, a mug, rock bottom prices.
I love the red, man. I'm going to have to get me one of those. I only have black and gray. I'm going to get the red.
Our price margins are like, we're doing this like rookies. Like,
what have we made so far? $11?
If we're lucky.
It's not about that, man. It's about getting that gear out there. It's about being at the expo and hearing that, why don't you guys have a store? And immediately 2 weeks later having a store.
Yeah.
It's about the peeps.
So we should probably dig into the top 12 a little bit.
Yeah, probably. Maybe 30 minutes in.
In the future, we might change this a little bit. We're probably going to pick out like three or so from the top 12 and focus on them a little stronger. But we decided going into week one, we really kind of knew it would be a little bit harder to pause on some of the players. So we've got some stuff coming up for you guys. We're working on it.
Nice.
Number 12, Terrace Marshall, wide receiver 81. And we mentioned that before, like, so many times, like this top 12 list isn't always so glamorous. Wide receiver 81 makes the list, 5.6 points, three receptions, targeted six times, 26 yards. Six targets, though.
He's clearly the third man on the shelf, though. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson both had 81% snap share, but Marshall was out there 53% of the time. And yeah, so you can't. you can't bat an eye at six targets. That's still healthy, especially when you have DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson in front of you and you're a rookie in your first game. So
yeah. And this is kind of what we expected from Marshall, if we're being completely honest. Like, I like Marshall a lot, but we warned you about Robbie Anderson. We warned you about DJ Moore. Those guys aren't just going away.
No.
Ninth most routes run out of any rookie wide receiver, or actually any rookie. So there was a couple other Pitts, actually, was the only other one who ran a different position. But yeah, so he was definitely on the field, like Finero said, and around 9 yards depth of target. So he wasn't being dumped off to. They weren't necessarily manufacturing it. So he was earning that, you know, decent depth of target. So yeah, as a non-Marshall guy, I didn't like hate him, but I wasn't a believer. This is what you want to see in week one. I mean, yeah, you'd love to see 2 touchdowns and 100 yards, but if we're being a realistic rookie evaluation, this is what we wanted and we got it. So that's a good check.
Love it. Dave, let's skip right into the next one, because I'm curious how you feel about Larry Rountree being such a huge, you're our Myles Gaskins man of the show, I would say. So running back 51, 5.7 points, 8 attempts, 27 yards, 5.7 points. Are you worried? Because I don't think like Gaskin lit the world on fire or anything like that. Do you think there's a possibility here that, is this the guy we want, first of all, if he goes down? And then second of all, back to my first of all, are you worried?
Well, Rountree's out backing up Eckler. So... Right.
Oh, I'm all over the place.
That's okay.
That's all right. No, but the same thing, because Eckler didn't score a touchdown. But actually had 10 evaded tackles. Was just freaking carving up the field. Eckler was, so there was things to like with Eckler. But as far as Rountree's concerned, he was a grinder. He's a two down grinder who had 8 attempts for 27 yards, and he didn't do anything exciting with that workload, and he did get one first down, but no targets. So he's, when you think of a guy to just, hey, he can get you, when you give him the ball, he's not going to fumble it, and he's going to get you 3 yards in a cloud of dust. That's Larry Rountree.
I thought the mixing
out of dust.
I thought the mixing in with Rountree and Jackson, Rountree at 27% of the snap share, Jackson at 14%, was kind of like almost an affirmation, probably for you Swags, that they don't want Eckler out there the 100% of the time. You know, so like if you're putting a rookie out there 27% of the time, that's a backup role, right? It's not Eckler has plenty of snap share to be out there and do his thing. But I also think it's one of those things where he could be capped a little bit. There's a lot of people that had Eckler as like maybe a top 10 back.
Oh, absolutely. I saw people tell me they were taking him like 2 and 3 overall.
Yeah.
Honestly, a lot of people, I have their receipts from when they were bookmarking me. So
hashtag fade to Shane's.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't even want to get too into Eckler, but we'll see how the season goes, honestly. But I wasn't that surprised, and he's viable. He's going to help teams, much like Antonio Gibson. And like anybody that listens to me, like knows that my passion and my gripe isn't that these players aren't going to help your teams, but it's the players that you take in front of them that I think will help you more.
I don't think Rountree is going to help anybody's team either. He's not an exciting rookie for me.
No.
Rookie rewind, Joshua Kelly inactive week one. And to be honest, I have seen zero difference between Larry Rountree and Joshua Kelly. They did the same exact thing.
I'm glad you brought that up. It feels exactly the same.
Joshua Kelly was 23 for 23. He didn't do that bad. He had that fumble and it all ended. That's really how it went. It wasn't that bad.
Well, then Rountree is one fumble away from also ending.
I think the disappointment was similar, where, hey, you got quite a decent amount of opportunities in Rountree and he did nothing with it. And that was the same with Kelly. He wasn't efficient. He did get some play early on, but then really faded down the stretch and lost the trust of the coaching staff.
Oh, I hear you there. Yeah. Number 10. Dave took home some points with Javonte Williams, running back 48, 8.6 points, 14 attempts, 45 yards, targeted one time, caught it, lost 4 yards.
Swags, he was involved way, way more than I thought he was going to be week one. It was exactly 50-50 split on the snap share. He had more carries. If it wasn't for, and I know everyone hates if it wasn't for, but that 70-yard touchdown by Melvin is the thing that literally like made it seem as though Javonte Williams was second in command. They were neck and neck throughout that entire game. Javonte Williams was definitely on pace. I was saying for a while now, just expect the same thing that we got out of our rookies last year. It took a while for Swift to earn his share. It took a while for all of our rookies, all the guys we were excited about last year. And this is like full for me, like it only goes up from here. And if the ground floor is a 50% snap share, I was wrong. I was wrong about how soon you can count on this guy. We could easily see a 100-yard game from Javonte Williams in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think he's actually got a decent matchup this weekend too.
And with Javonte Williams, like Fenner said though, what if game if Melvin Gordon didn't that narrative is totally different because on the ground, Javonte Williams was making tacklers miss. He was out there for 11 routes compared to Melvin Gordon's 16 routes. So it's not just is he getting more carries, but he's also being featured as a receiver, which he had decent reception totals, like 3 20 reception seasons. But Melvin Gordon's a pretty good pass catcher. I was off Melvin Gordon this year, but he's a pretty good receiver. And did Javonte Williams get there week one? I'm impressed. I was a little nervous that he wasn't get the top 12, so I was glad he snuck in.
Mm-hmm. And that's even kind of like when I went through his stats and then I kind of ended with, and that's it really because it's kind of how I feel like the running back 48 and the 8.6 points, like for your fantasy team sounds a little bit disappointing, but really kind of like you said, and Fenner, I know you said that you were a little bit surprised, but this is kind of what I expected. I know like in referencing Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams a few times, I mentioned, Maurice Jones-Drew and Fred Jackson of the old and how they kind of like both were very viable running backs in the early part while Fred Jackson was slowly fading away. And so what do you have to do? is it feasible for me to consider trying to trade Elijah Mitchell plus to somebody to try to get Javonte Williams on this week that the points aren't there, but lot of other exciting things?
It's too soon. Too soon.
It's too soon, but in the future will be too late.
Yeah, I just mean like I don't think anyone's down on Javonte Williams. Like I said, I was surprised with volume. Like, am I surprised that he got 45 yards? No, but I would have thought that maybe that would have been on 6 or 7 carries. You know, like that's kind of, I expected more efficiency and less carries. I got less efficiency and more carries. So I just feel like, I mean, shit, there's plenty of players that we fully expect because we have a long history that are going to do much better. You know, Aaron Rodgers is going to bounce back from this week. You know, like there's going to be down weeks. This is week one on for a rookie sharing splitting time right down the middle with Melvin Gordon. I think it's like if I'm a Javonte Williams owner, I probably was thinking before, oh, okay, I'm going to have to wait like 5 or 6 weeks before he's really going to be useful in my lineup. If I have to play him because I'm one of those guys that, you know, has Javonte Williams as my RB2, then I'm going to, but I'm going to not get that RB1 number for a while. And now I bet you anything, Javonte Williams can turn a 50% snap share into a 100-yard game within 3 weeks. And that is much earlier than I thought he was going to be able to do this.
Big point too, veterans, wrapped in bubble wrap all preseason. Think about how the NFL is trending. What happens is when we invest in these rookies heavily early on, and I expect a year one return, especially later in the season. What happens is these veterans who have wear and tear, they break down as the season goes on. Melvin Gordon's had a lot of lower body injuries. So what happens is the younger rookie running back gains steam here. And this is how you do it with this kind of performance in week one. And one more point, to Swag's question about Elijah Mitchell plus for Javonte Williams. The time to do it was before this episode listened to, because everyone's listening to us and they know now not to do that trade. So that's the problem here.
This I'm next, gonna try this next
I'll
one.
Just slow production down a little bit. They won't know, but we can do it. Sorry, Feverish.
Nah, I was just going to say this next name really surprised me. I was stunned.
Kyle Pitts, what were you stunned by? Tight end 23, the 9.1 points a little low, the 4 receptions, the 8 targets, the 31 yards, or the target share?
So a little bit of everything. It was the fact that Hurst was out there pretty much the same amount. And you would say, oh, okay, well, he's the inline tight end, and Pitts is Swags. You know, you and I have been saying this for a while. Like, Pitts is just going to be a straight out wide receiver. Pitts was a tight end in this game. And not only was he a tight end in this game, he wasn't the only tight end in this game. So at least in week one, which I fully anticipated this not to happen. Meaning, like, I literally thought Hurst would get a look or two, and it was going to be like we would be looking at Pitts' stats. And now 8 targets is nice, though. I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's great. But then again, I mean, this guy's supposed to be the second coming, and he's catching half the balls. Now, I didn't see this game. I don't know if you guys did, so I don't know what's going on. Matt Ryan's not a schlub, but at the same time, he is on the, you know, he's got less weapons. There's no Julio Jones out there. They struggled in this game across the board. So I'm not trying to put too much into this, but at the same time, my expectations were a little higher, and my expectations was not that both Hurst and Kyle Pitts were going to get 4 catches in this game and that it was going to be for a total of 31 yards. I literally thought there were so many available targets with the loss of Julio Jones that we would be seeing more out of Kyle Pitts. And maybe 8 targets is all I should be expecting from a rookie tight end in his first game. But that 4 for 31 just feels deflating to me. I don't know. You guys walked me off the ledge there, but I don't know. I thought I was going to see more.
Yeah.
I'd say too, like Arthur Smith has been whispered as a little bit of a tight end whisperer, because, you know, they like to use that 2 tight end sets coming from Tennessee. The problem, like you talked about, not seeing the game. The problem was they were in a very negative game script. They were behind, and Arthur Smith insisted on running the ball. There should have been at least 10 more pass attempts in this game for the Falcons. It was a very poorly executed game plan to try to come back. There was no guard. Like, yeah, there was still plenty of attempts, but it was just a losing play strategy by Arthur Brown. So hopefully.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound like it goes away all season then. I mean, if you're behind in a game and your pass catchers aren't getting the ball and you're running it, like, that doesn't change. That's not going to change. Yeah. I mean, that's concerning. That's even more concerning. You know, that's funny to me. Like, it'd be one thing if they were ahead in the game and they were running the ball. But if you're telling me like that's his MO and they're just going to run the ball even when they're behind, where's the garbage time? Where's the upside for Kyle Pitts?
You hope that there's pressure from media. Yeah. Yeah. You'd hope there's pressure from the media. Yeah. I mean, I think he's like top 3 in tight end target share, I think, for the week, if I'm or something like
targets.
That. Yeah. That's exciting. That's how you look at what is exciting. Yeah. It's a very poor output as statistically, but I think about the opportunity and I'm excited about that. So I'm trying to stop you off the ledge there from there.
He's He's the highest ranked positional player we've talked about yet. Tight end 23. We don't get to anybody above that until number 3 when we talk about wide receiver 19.
Yeah,
I'm kind of joking, but because he's tight end and tight end 23. Number 8, Najee Harris, running back 39. See what I mean? Running back 39. Kyle Pitts was tight end 23.
I hear you.
Running back 39, 9.9 points, 16 attempts, 45 yards, 1 reception, 3 targets, 4 yards. Somebody asked me today if they should trade away their Swift for Najee Harris, and somebody sent them this offer. And I was like, absolutely not. I don't even think like a clickbait wannabe beat writer that advocated for Keyshawn Vaughn over DeAndre Swift and then tried to get his career mulled over and had people dropping him from their redraft teams because of horrible rumors that he spread would trade away DeAndre Swift for Najee Harris at this point.
Wow. I just want to let that marinate a little bit. I like that a lot. I like that take a lot. I mean, yeah. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy that.
I'm just trying to figure out whether our listeners want me to pat myself on the back or shut the hell up about something I've been saying all off season, which is my concerns about this offensive line. So I'm trying to figure out whether listeners right now are like, oh, here he goes. He's going to pat himself on the back because he's been talking about the concerns about this offensive line all off season. I still think they just –
It showed. I think it showed.
It absolutely
I think you can talk
showed.
About
it's,
it, yeah.
It's the story of Najee Harris this week. He was out there, guys, 100% of the snaps. And that's what we fully expected, right? We fully expected him to carry the load, and he did. So I think his upside, the reason that he's going to be a very viable asset for dynasty teams, redraft teams across the board, is going to be when they start involving him in the passing game. I think he is above average pass catcher. I think they're going to need to do that to get him involved, to get this young running back and his legs involved. And we didn't see that. We saw 2.8 yards per carry, 16 for 45. Did not seem flashy. I wouldn't overreact to it, but you have to take into account that offensive line sucks and he's got to run behind it.
Yeah. But you definitely don't trade away the younger running back that's better for the older rookie that struggled week one.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, MG Dynasty, he heard a lot of talk prior to the season about, hey, you can trade your DeAndre Swift for, because the rankings, Dynasty rankings were, that DeAndre Swift was ranked higher than Najee Swift or Najee Harris. He, in eight leagues that he had DeAndre Swift or something, every single time he proposed to get Najee Harris, it was turned down. No one wanted to do that deal. Eight out of eight didn't want to do it.
Wow.
And now, I bet a lot of those has changed after only one week.
Just get out of here. Let's stop with that stuff.
People don't like Swift. They don't want to like him. That was a week. I mean, coming off of the injured list, he hadn't played much. He stepped into the game with Jamal Williams, and Detroit had two RB1s. That's insane to even me, but. But yeah, I agree with what you said, Feverish, and I think there's better days ahead for Harris here. So number eight, Najee Harris, was also one of Feverish's hits, if you guys don't remember, as well as number seven here, Rondale Moore, wide receiver 53. This one's Dave's, though. 10.8 points, 4 receptions, 5 targets, and 68 yards. Dave, you didn't pick.
I didn't. I waffled about it, but you would assumed I would have. You would have assumed I would have.
Was that your third guy? We all picked a third.
Yeah,
guy.
It was so okay. Pish posh.
I will say I was extremely pleased with how Rondale Moore performed. Not a ton of routes run overall in that offense, when he was on there, they were getting him the ball. And there's think about it, there's AJ Green, DeAndre Hopkins, and Christian Kirk, three veterans who either have been with the team a while or have a lot of clout in the NFL ahead of him, and he put up that in week one.
Yep.
And then with all these size concerns and all this blah blah blah, you know, everything that you've heard swirling around Rondale Moore, this is why I loved Arizona.
More yards than Fenero and I predicted him to have per game without you here.
And I'm also, very happy here.
And also, guys,
remember, you should be, yeah.
And also, guys, remember, Christian Kirk does this stuff, right? Christian Kirk gives us a game every season like this. And I realize it's game one.
I mean, he's wide receiver 53. He made the list here. You could flex this guy, but it's not.
But I mean, I'm talking about, I think there's another piece of the pie available. I think the Christian Kirk 5 for 70 and 2 touchdowns is just not going to repeat itself. So he's 5 for 70, where Rondale Moore is 4 for 68. Obviously, those 2 touchdowns put Christian Kirk on the map. There's no doubt about that. Hopkins, 6 for 83 for 2 touchdowns. And Green, as predicted, pretty much non-existent. I've told people, move on from this guy. Should have already moved on from him. It's name tache and name tache only. They drafted Rondale Moore. Green just isn't the same guy. I fell for it last year. I'm done with him. I'm done with him in every single league. 2 for 25. Rondale Moore is more exciting. He's more versatile. It's kind of what this offense needs right now. Is he going to be, you know, is Kirk going to eat into that? Is Green going to eat into that? Of course. Are we going to not know when to start Rondale Moore? Probably. Is Rondell Moore exciting dynasty asset? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think by the end of the season, we're going to be starting Rondell Moore a lot more. I'll say that much just because of, I think AJ Green, like you said, he's dust. I'm a huge AJ Green fan. He is dust. He has no heart. Like that red zone target he had, it was sad that how his effort for that play. I don't think he's lost that edge. I don't think he survives the season. Well, I think he lives through the season. But I don't think he makes it through I don't think he plays all the whole season. AJ Green. I don't think he makes it the whole season.
And I mean, yeah, I'm with you, dude. I think you will be starting him really soon. I mean, I scoffed at the wide receiver 53 a little bit, just kind of the perspective of like when Fenero said Christian Kirk does this in and out, you know, and I agree with that. But I mean, 10.8 points, I'm flexing that. We're flexing that.
Sure.
So, sure. Yeah, I'm with you. If he can get me 10 points, 80% catch rate, I'm all about it. Yeah. So we'll see. Rondell Moore could hit a lot quicker than I thought he was going to. But yeah, like
when
Fenero said, be a little wary. Like they have so many different spots to throw that ball around.
True. When we reflect on rookies and we talk about them flashing, that was Rondell Moore's game. He flashed on week one. Absolutely flashed. That was the definition of flashing.
Yeah. Number six, somebody we haven't actually talked about too much on Rookie Fever. Anthony Schwartz, wide receiver 52, 11.65 points, one attempt for 17 yards, three receptions, targeted five times for 69 yards. How are you guys feeling about Anthony Schwartz?
I found it interesting. I was out watching the game with my friends, and they were fixated on I believe it was the Eagles game at the time. And I was looking over and I saw Schwartz out there off the get, and I noticed him. He had an early catch. So I just kind of, they didn't notice, but I caught it. I also knew in that same league that Schwartz was an available free agent. And I just found it very interesting that he, you know, because Odell Beckham, you know, wasn't playing, that he seemed to be the immediate replacement.
Yeah.
Peoples Jones is going to be out there. Peoples Jones outsnapped him 80%. Did almost nothing. Landry was out there 86%. Makes sense. That's about what we thought. But the fact that we saw Anthony Schwartz, his speed, and we saw actually the confidence to throw to him was a big thing. Baker seemed like pretty comfortable with that situation. There was a little bit of chemistry I saw there that I absolutely wasn't expecting. I was expecting more of like a Van Jefferson deep shot. And that was going to be like a very like, he seemed more complete as a wide receiver, as a rookie wide receiver, and Baker Mayfield seemed way more comfortable throwing to him and using him in situations where he needed like a first down or a third and long. Like I felt like he felt dependable. And now we see Odell Beckham again. I think, was he already ruled out or he's questionable now?
He's
like, we don't even know. He's out already for week two.
Yeah.
Like I wonder.
Fire David Njoku up.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a crack.
Is that not what you were going
to
say?
No, I was going to say, I wonder if there's a crack here for Anthony Schwartz to make a little bit more of an impact with both Baker and the coaching staff to buy for a little bit more time. I know it's going to be tough, though, because they love Donovan Peoples-Jones. This whole offseason, all I heard about was him. And I tried to pick him up where I could. And I believe that Anthony Schwartz is probably one of those guys that is going to probably not help you a bunch in the long run. But I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how long Landry's there. Already I'm wondering how long Odell's going to be there. I mean, that whole trade just seems like a waste for them. They've never really seemed to have gotten anything that as advertised and for what they gave up for Odell. I wonder if Anthony Schwartz sneaks in to some opportunity late this season or even next. I don't know. It's a flyer still for me, but I don't know. I was surprised by what I saw.
I'm glad you brought up Donovan Peoples-Jones here because he ran 23 routes to Anthony Schwartz's 16 routes. So he was actually ran more routes, was more involved in the passing game, yet only got one target. Whereas Anthony Schwartz got five. So
he had to be getting open, right?
In his first game has already, and I know Swags likes Donovan Peoples-Jones as a late round flyer and was just liked him as a stash kind of player, but I was not expecting this from Schwartz right away to do this and just already supersede Donovan Peoples-Jones. But maybe the draft capital should have given that away a little bit, but I was still a little surprised.
And it's only week one.
Yeah, and it's only week one.
Absolutely.
Number five, Kenneth Gainwell, running back 26, 14.55 points, nine attempts, 37 yards, one touchdown, two receptions, three targets, another 6 yards. This one, like, I don't want to say it's only week one, too. That's why I kind of chuckled as we got to Kenneth Gainwell right out of my last breath being, and it's only week one. I think Miles Sanders teams should be legitimately a little bit concerned about Kenneth Gainwell.
That's funny you say that. As a Miles Sanders owner, I was, before week one, considering trading away Sanders and packaging in Julio Jones and trying to go get Harris. And I knew, I sat there and I thought about it because I've been really getting cold feet with Sanders. Like I've been starting to hear enough concern about Sanders. Yet Sanders goes out there, carries the ball 15 times for 74 yards and then catches the ball, which apparently he can't do, 4 catches for 39 yards. I loved Sanders games. And in fact, it was just Sanders and Gainwell. There wasn't a third or fourth back with even a single snap. It was just those two. Dave's going to disagree.
I thought I had Boston Scott with 12 snaps. I could be wrong there. I'm
almost positive that he does not. I'll look it up again, but I was stunned by that. I put that in a note because Boston Scott being – well, you came up with what?
12 snaps.
12 snaps.
For Boston Scott.
Give me 1 minute.
But – regardless of getting no snaps or what have you, from my perspective, he doubled Boston Scott's day one. Again, the same thing that I was talking about with Donovan Peoples-Jones versus Anthony Schwartz, doubling Boston Scott, who was productive in his role last year, was intriguing to me.
The site I'm on is zero, so I might be getting bad information, but I got 0% snap share for Boston Scott, which is another thing. Like we heard literally a week or two before the season that Boston Scott and Miles Sanders were going to share the ball 50% of the time. Like, I mean, what happened there? So Gainwell was efficient. Gainwell was a great complimentary back. I think Gainwell could help Sanders. I'm not down on Sanders, Swags. I really am not. I actually was more down on him before this game. And I watched almost every play of that game because I was with my buddies and they're all Eagles fans. So I watched that game. Gainwell did look good, don't get me wrong, and they're absolutely going to utilize him as a pass catcher. But he felt like a complimentary back to me, and it felt like Sanders' backfield.
12 special team snaps for Boston Scott. Sorry, that's what my I scraped some 12 special team snaps.
Nobody cares about Boston Scott.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry, Boston.
Damn Boston
What about Scott. His mom?
Number four, his mom cares more about Kenneth Gainwell and Brandon Ayuk.
Okay, all right.
She's looking at players on other teams. Number four, Jaylen Waddle. This one ticks me off because, like, in my head, if I was listening to Rookie Fever all off season, I would have been like, Swags is definitely going to pick Jaylen Waddle in the top 12. But no, he doesn't. He throws a curveball and instead takes Trey Sermon and Kyle Pitts. Wide receiver 27, 16.1 points, 4 receptions on 6 targets, 61 yards, 1 touchdown. I liked what I saw from Waddle and Tua, to be completely honest with you. I will end with, because I know you guys want to talk too, I want to bench Waddle this week, and I want to bench Tua if I can. I think they have an awful matchup, and you probably have better options.
Now, that's great advice not to one, overreact to week one, and two, my favorite thing, chasing the points. So he was out there just as much as Parker, 80% snap share. Parker, 83% snap share. Parker surprised me a little bit. Parker looked good. I wasn't expecting that. Parker looked pretty damn solid. And I think, again, like people tend to overreact in order for Waddle to succeed his rookie season, he needs to be the only wide receiver on this team. I love for Waddle to have Parker have a good season. I think that would be phenomenal for Waddle and Tua. So this was interesting, though. They're the only two wide receivers on the team that had targets. Those two.
I did not know that.
Only those two wide receivers on the entire team had a target.
Wow.
Albert Wilson was out there 41% of the time but didn't earn a target. So that also bodes well, right? So we often talk about how and honestly, Gesicki had a bad game too. So, like, the whole thing wasn't pretty.
A donut. Let's put it that way. He had a donut.
the whole thing wasn't pretty. And I told – that was like my big concern about this offense. But again, it's just week one. It still remains a concern after week one is I just don't – I don't know about this offense. But I do really like this performance from Waddle and how much he was out there. But it was all really expected. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us were surprised by that. I think I was – I think I agree with you. I was as surprised that you didn't go with Waddle as I was with myself not going with Devonta Smith. And I was equally as angry with myself not going with Devonta Smith.
Right.
I'm glad that we did third players, so I at least like told you I wanted to, but what the F, man.
Yeah. So Devonta Smith, wide receiver 19.1 points, 6 receptions, 8 targets, 71 yards, and a touchdown. He looked good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say, you know. Devonta Smith, I am not completely in your corner, but I'm cheering for you, and I really honestly do hope you continue to prove me wrong. I mean that, but yeah, I watched some of this game, and when I saw Devonta Smith, I was like, eh, wow, still a little small, you know, like, and when he's going out there and running into the three people that are about to tackle him.
You're nervous for him.
I am nervous for him, but you can also see him let up, so the hits aren't like he looks very smart about it. I won't even lie. You can almost see him let up a little bit, so, like he knows he's probably going to get tackled anyway, and he makes the impact so that it's a little less. I really felt like he looked like he was being smart about it, given his size. I don't think that he can consciously do that his entire career once he gets more and more comfortable at the competitive NFL level, though. But I did feel like he was playing pretty smart. I was impressed. Yeah, absolutely. I hope I eat crow on this. You know, I'd rather see, you know, and that's one thing that bugs me about like some of the stuff I see is how people really root for some of these guys to do bad because of their takes. But honestly, guys, the more fun fantasy assets we have putting up points, the more fun this is for everybody. So I'm happy to be wrong about this. Everybody knows I don't have any Devonta Smith on my teams. I'm not even going to say sell him. I liked what I saw. We'll see, man.
He led all positional players. That includes the tight ends that we all are afraid that the Eagles will use. Matter of fact, he had more targets than Goddard and Ertz combined. And he had more targets than anyone on the team. Rager also looked good, which again, yeah. I like to see. I like to see this rookie rewind getting a little bit of. And what the other thing I told you, my concern about this offense was Hurts. He also looked good. This is a game that I watched from beginning to end. He was putting the ball into windows. He was using his legs when he needed to. He was putting defenses out of balance. And I felt like Rager and Smith are going to complement each other quite well. So I'm actually – this is what I needed to see week one, being a Devonta Smith owner. I needed to see Rager be something, and I did. And I needed Smith to go out there, show his separation, show some physicality. And like you said, I think it might have been a lack of physicality, but he still was slippery. Like you said, I think that he also was trusted, and that was the big thing. This is a rookie wide receiver, and he's clearly
8 targets.
Clearly the wide receiver one, clearly the receiver one. You know, it doesn't matter. Like he's going to get more targets week to week than the running backs, than the tight ends. Well, that's going to be tough. Tight ends combined, probably not from week to week, but then any other wide receiver. And I think that Rager, if he can keep it going, God willing, this could be an offense that could produce 2 wide receivers that we get excited about in fantasy. And I hope so. I think that I thought that might be a reach. I thought either Smith would need more time and maybe we see something from Rager, or maybe Smith shines right away and Rager's just dragging them down. But if they can do this from week to week and be efficient like this, now I'm going to put all this excitement to bed or put it in perspective for a second. It was Atlanta.
Nah, I was waiting for that.
It was Atlanta. So that is one thing that we have to take into account. Mm-hmm. It was Atlanta, and that was a big reason that I was mad at myself for not starting Smith in our predictions, because it was such a good setup game for him. So let's see if they can do it again next week.
25% target share. That is not only for a rookie, but for an NFL, for any wide receiver in fantasy, is elite. When you hit the 25% target share, and above, that is wide receiver, top 12 wide receiver for the season type numbers. Do that in week one with in that offense too. And I don't think you mentioned this, Fenero, but the new coach who looked like a clown at sometimes to start the season or the off season really schemed up, really played to, I'm blanking on the quarterback though, right? Why can't I think of his name right now? Hurts really, really schemed up and played to his strengths.
I agree.
And how he did it. Really impressive from a scheme wise, and love to see this for both those wide receivers going forward. But this is what this is, this kind of opportunity, and to capitalize on it and be efficient with that opportunity. I'm excited for Devonta Smith. I'm very excited.
And not to be a negative Nancy, but nothing he did does take away my number one concern, I guess, after it's all said and done, and that's his size.
Yep.
So
I actually, I don't think I've asked you the Swags. Do you have any concern with Waddle's size?
Waddle's a little bit bigger,
but he dealt with a lot of injuries in college. There's a lot
of people in the league at 180 to 190 though. There's not a lot of that between like that 160 and 170 continually showing success. Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about size and not injuries.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I mean, I'm just not a size. I don't concern about size, but I do concern about size and injuries. That's which is a one for me. But
well, if you may not be concerned about size, but I'm sure that you would agree that Devonta Smith's success would be an outlier.
I from my stats perspective, size has had no correlation to NFL success whatsoever at all. Sometimes
you're not putting it in, or
no, because I've tested out the numbers.
Guys last long at that size.
Big players, little players. When you're a small player and you get it in, those small players, it's like a selection bias thing. They get weeded out. So like Kyler Murray being that short and making it this far shows us how good he is because of the biases of the whole the whole football industrial complex not liking short quarterbacks. Same thing with small wide receiver, like these svelte wide receiver. I'm sure he was like a buck 20 in high school at wide receiver or something like that. That usually gets faded out. But he's not only has he done it at a high level, and that's what I'm kind of say, like, we don't see Devonta Smith who, and so when you look at it from a size
perspective. But I'm not saying he can't do this.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is I don't, from a size point, one, it's like statistically, with these, you can say, yeah, there's not a lot of them. You're right. There's not a lot of people his size in the NFL, but that's a good sign when you were that successful because one matters more is college production matters way much more than size. And he is not an outlier. Actually, he's a outlier in how incredible his college production was because he, one of the first non-QBs to win the Heisman in a long time, like wide receivers won the Heisman in a long time. That doesn't happen for him. That's an outlier.
And for you, Swags, you're concerned about just overall health. Like he's a smaller dude, and he's going to get banged up.
An eventual quicker decline, yes.
Yeah. Okay, and that you know
and tough. Missing time and availability and opportunity.
Yep,
I'm really pleased by this. I don't want the guy to get hurt. Those are still my concerns.
Right.
I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. Those concerns didn't go away because he had a good week one, though.
Right. I understand.
Number two, Ja'Marr Chase. I don't think this will ever happen again, ever. And I know it's not in order, but the top three drafted wide receivers all crazy. Showed up in the top three.
I'm so rookies. Glad you brought that up because it was glaring like off the page. If Elijah Mitchell hadn't snuck into this list, it would have been like, wow, wide receiver one, two, three, right in a row.
Yep. Yeah. And Devonta like Smith, I mean, maybe wasn't drafted in front of Waddle, but we thought he was going to be for a while there.
I did a couple places.
Wide receiver 15. This is another Dave. If you guys haven't caught on, Dave kicked our butts in the predictions this week.
Ja'Marr Chase, first time ever. Like, usually you guys kick my ass. So.
I don't know if it's the first time you've won a week, but I think this is the first time you'll have a lead and that you're not playing from behind because of like the other guests even.
Yeah.
So this is all you, Dave. Now it's all you. Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver 15, 21.15 points. One attempt for minus 2 yards, 5 receptions, 7 targets, 101 yards, 1 touchdown. Hell of a week.
With that being said, dude, like as you're saying, it's Ja'Marr Chase, Smith, and Waddle. All of them, all three of them in their first game get their first touchdown. In Devonta Smith's case, it was his first target.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? His first target was his first reception was his touchdown. Like, it's crazy, like, to see that, like, to have these three guys. And it's great to see. It really is. Like, we had, for example, I keep going back to when I drafted Rager over Justin Jefferson. Shoot me now. You know, this shit happens. You know, like, the, you know, these wide receivers that we're really excited about, like, to get even, like, just a little taste of this, a little taste of success week one, this makes you feel good.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And to go over 100 yards. And Spaceman, I saw you release a tweet. There's a lot of information on this tweet. They got, like, 6 pages. I bookmarked it. And you did, like, air yards. You did, you know, stats out the wazoo. What, I don't know. Wasn't there, like, a... There's like shit I don't even understand.
And Whopper, Chase, which is Whopper, which is weighted opportunity rating, which combines. Jamar
Chase was on that list every single time, so he's doing something right over there. There's no doubt about that. Jamar Chase had one hell of a game. 90% snap share, his first touchdown, led snap share, by the way, because we wanted to keep an eye on that. We wanted to see where that was. My concern about Chase in week one, which is why I went Harris instead of Chase, was Burrow. And I've been saying that from the get. I've been saying that I thought Burrow seemed as though he was verbally telling people that he doesn't really trust the knee yet, that he's coming across slowly. I wasn't buying all the negativity, but I was buying that he might have a slow start. I like Burrow. I like Burrow a lot. I love these three wide receivers. So, you know, to see a 90% snap share to 74 for Boyd, 74 for Higgins, and then to see that production on top of it, where Boyd only had 32 yards and Higgins had 58. Of course, he had the touch. But to see Chase come out with 100, 101 to be exact, on 7 targets, to have that efficiency, to have the targets, to have the trust, and the big long touchdown, which looked awful nice with that separation, that was nice to see.
And, you know, too, this is with Joe Mixon getting an insane amount of carries, too. He led the league in carries this week. Against Minnesota, you would normally think that Cincinnati have to play a little bit more catch up. They wouldn't be able to control the game like they did, like Cincinnati wise. So they not a ton of overall pass attempts in that offense. What happens when they have to play from behind and they have to really push the ball down the field? Those 7 targets turn into 11, 12 very easily. I'm very excited. I'm very excited. I just want to say, I hope I understand drops are very viscerally. They are. We have a very negative reaction to it because it's a lost opportunity. They might have scored a touchdown. They might have, you know, they lost fantasy points. But all the positives that go into drops, like you're the coach, the whole organization has faith in you to put you on the field. Then you have the athleticism, the skill, and all that stuff that goes into it to getting open. Then the trust of the quarterback to get you the ball. A lot more positives go into a drop than negatives, in my opinion, for talking about grading the whole play overall. And the more drops you get, that means the more positive you're getting. And especially, yeah, if you're an undrafted free agent and you drop your first couple targets, not good. But when you're a top five overall pick and you drop a couple in preseason, I think he's going to get a little more leash than people were acting on Twitter. So I think this people, I understand that drops are not pleasant to look at, but I look at it as just a measurement of opportunity.
All right. I love it. Let's get to number one. We've talked about a lot. Elijah Mitchell.
We probably talked about him.
Running back 10. Yeah. Hardly need to touch on him. 22.15 points. Surprised by the 19 attempts, but not really when you think about the situation and you pour out the vacuum. And we know now that Sermon didn't play. Mostert got hurt. 104 yards, 1 touchdown. Elijah Mitchell. Had a good game, though.
I know we talked about a lot already. Quickly, the why I draft Elijah Mitchell's, he actually did not carry a large workload in college, which I usually like to see on my running backs, but he was very efficient with his workload and showed that he could catch the ball. He had a 20 reception season and he was, you know, racked up a lot of touchdowns in certain seasons. So as from a college production profile, it demonstrated that if he ever got the opportunity, he would be able to handle multiple things. He receptions, carries, and be able to do something with it. Whereas Larry Roundtree, to me, he did not have the receptions, was more of a 1 and 2 grinder. So this is just why I invest when I have those dart throws in an Elijah Mitchell versus a Roundtree, just because of a profile perspective and that versatility. And if you ever like in week one, where you are thrust into a role, you can do something with it.
I think that's a lot of people too, though. Like, I think Roundtree, you could probably still go get off some waivers today.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just using it as like an archetype kind of thing, like kind of thing, not the actual player himself.
Right.
At least you knew what team he was playing for.
So I think a lot of people forgot.
Week one predictions. We'll start with me, I guess, because I lost big time with Kyle Pitts was my only plus with, he was 9 overall to the rookies, gave me plus 4. And then I had Trey Sermon, who was 30th, and that was the, where all the zeros were ranked this week. And it got me minus 18 for a total of minus 14 to start me off. And then Feverish, kind of similar, not as bad though, but Najee Harris, 8 overall, as we mentioned. Then Elijah Moore, 27th overall. That got him minus 15. So his minus 15 with his positive 5 for minus 10. And then there's Spaceman, who freaking is relentless this year because he takes how bad the guests were so personal.
Does.
I didn't sleep last night. The night before we did this, just to get ready for week two, because I wanted to make sure. Oh, little Dave was crying. Little baby crying. I said, no, sir. I need to make sure I get week two predictions correct.
So we've already talked about Dave's players a little bit because they were both in the top 12, but he had Javonte Williams, 10 overall, got him plus 3. And then Jamar Chase, 2 overall, got him the plus 11 for 14. A hell of a way to start the season. So 28 ahead of me and 24 ahead of you.
Yeah.
Way to go,
Dave. This is tough because we week one, it can't get any easier week one because we're all allowed to pick whatever player we want. But this week, we can't pick anyone that was on the top 12 and we can't pick anyone that we have already chosen. So that sucks. It makes this game so much harder. And we gave Spaceman that kind of lead.
Well, and with you and me not hitting, we actually are the ones that have less people to pick from. So Dave actually, in a sense, has more people to pick from us.
It's ridiculous.
I decided on my own thought process that Dave won, so he gets to go first. You're second, so you get to go second. And I'm third, so I get to go third. So kicking our butts. He has more options, and he gets to pick first.
Wow, so that's a turn here. I was actually trying to do a little game theory after, so it's a change here. So I'm going to actually go with I'm going to stick with my initial gut there. I actually were going between two players. I'm going to go with Elijah Moore, who had an insane amount of air yards, really targeted down the field. Everyone was worrying about him being a slot guy and just being a little dink and dunk guy in a PPR machine. No, he was at a 23 yards per target, pushed the gunslinger Zach Wilson. Now, obviously, it didn't work out in week one for an arrow, but I'm going to re-roll it in week two.
Yeah, I would have loved to re-roll Elijah Moore. He was out there 86% of the time to Corey Davis's 89%. And then the next guy in line was Braxton Berrios. I mean, it was like those two on the field, and that's just about it. So I think it's a matter of time. I do. And I would have liked to pick him again, but I can't because of Swag's rules. So that sucks.
There are rules.
Yeah. You know, rules are meant to be broken. I mean, we don't have to do them every year. Anyway, that being said, the reason I picked Najee last week and the reason I will probably go back to the running back well this week is just how reliable those running backs can get into the top 12. But I have other temptations. I'm going to go with, and this is probably going to bite me in the freaking ass, but I think everybody who's low on Trey Sermon, thinking Elijah Moore is just going to run away with this, he is absolutely going to dress this week. There's no doubt about that because Mostert's not starting. I'm going to go Trey Sermon. Don't love it against the Eagles, but I'm doing it anyway. Trey Sermon versus the Eagles.
And I mean, to your point, Finero, like with Roundtree and Javonte Williams, they're running back 51 and running back 48.
Yeah.
Marshall made this with wide receiver 81 with 5.6 points.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't hate that at all.
I was hoping you'd go somewhere else because I knew Swags couldn't take him. I was hoping he'd fall to me. So good.
That's why you took Elijah Moore, because you knew I was going to take Elijah Moore if Finero didn't.
Yep. Actually, no. I thought you were going to take somebody else who I think I know who you're going to take right now.
Oh, you think?
I think I know who you're going to take right now, too.
Man, I don't think you guys know who I'm going to take.
Well, then you're not taking the guy I think you're going to take, because this is the guy that
I'm I'm going to take the guy that I think you might be thinking I might take, and then I'll save the other guy.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, now we talked him into it now. This is disappointing.
But then if he does that, I might actually take the player that he's thinking about taking.
But I still don't think you're thinking of the player I'm going to take, but I'm going to take the one that if you are, this is going to be the one.
Oh, who's on first? I get it now.
Who's on first?
I get it.
Michael Carter.
Oh.
That was a mistake.
That wasn't who I thought you would take.
I think that he could get a few more points and squeeze into this. I mean,
dude, he's on my list. He's on my list. I was just messing with you.
It wasn't an amazing week or anything, but
no,
he showed up on the scoreboard. I don't think there's really any running back with the Jets that's impressing me right now. So I could see Michael Carter getting into the end zone and getting some points for a week. And I hate that it wasn't the guy you thought I was going to take, and you still diverted me to him.
I actually thought Fanero was going to take Michael Carter in my heart of hearts, because I know he really liked Michael Carter. I think you did like Michael Carter. That being said, I'm going to go with who I thought Spice was going to take and who actually was up there. He was actually the fourth in routes, actually. I thought he was going to be higher than that. But I'm going to go Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, bitch.
Four targets, decent depth of target, decent amount of routes. And I think they're going to have to play catch up against Green Bay. So I think he's going to get at least 3 to 4 targets this game.
I love it. Don't mind that at all. I might have taken him if I didn't take Michael Carter, but I have somebody in mind still if Fanero doesn't take him.
I'm going to go back to the running back well and go Ramondre Stevenson. He had enough. He obviously not redshirted. This is somebody I was late on. I thought that New England was going to do what they typically do with these running backs. They did not do that. If he had not fumbled himself, I'd be even happier about this pick, but he fumbled the damn ball. So did Harris. That's why Ramondre was in. I think there's a little bit of an opportunity, open backfield situation for Ramondre. Also think game script could be in play here. So we'll see. We'll see. I think I like Ramondre Stevenson. I think it's a little bit of this is a tough game after week one. We don't have a lot of data out there other than the fact that I know the dude's playing and he's a running back. And I like his opportunity because Harris did fumble. So let's see what happens. Don't fumble the ball, Ramondre.
Yeah. I don't hate either of your guys' last predictions here. I am going to go right up against you, though, Dave. And I want to get into this. I want to get into this Green Bay Packers and Lions game with you. And
I can't believe you're going to go. This is going to be fun.
Aaron Rodgers is coming out pissed off this week and ready to show the world who he really is. And Amari Rodgers is going to be a part of that. And that's what I'm going with. I had that kind of in my head even before we started the show, but I think that Amari Rodgers is going to get some play this week. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be closer to the Aaron Rodgers we want, and Amari Rodgers will score.
Very interesting. I this reminds me of how fun this game is, because it just gets really difficult.
It's dirty.
It is. It's so difficult. So this is fun. I like all these picks, by the way. I would say Amari Rodgers is the only one that wasn't on my list. I was going to take a dart throw at Freiermuth, which would absolutely be a dart throw, because I think him and Ebron had one target in the game.
I had my eyes on Freiermuth.
But he was somebody, because just so everybody knows, like, I think our scoring does favor the tight end slightly. I think we have tight end premium in the scoring.
We did go tight end premium this year.
That was a reason I considered it. And if I didn't get Ramondre Stevenson, I would have went Carter. But then after that, Freiermuth was like my sixth pick. So yeah, Amon-Ra was probably my second overall. So yeah, I like what everybody did there. We were very, very similar pages. And now I want to see if we're, or if Dave is similar again, if he wants to play Family Feud before we get out of here.
This, I'll just say I had a crazy eye before I went Amon-Ra St. Brown. I had something crazy in my eye. And I thought Swags was going there. I almost went Trinity freaking Benson for Detroit.
Oh, wow.
Swags,
wow.
who had six targets.
Wow.
So I thought when you said you wanted to get into that Detroit Green Bay game, I was like, oh my God, Swags with the top rope. But
no, I'm not going there. That's good to see, though, but I'm not going there. Let's get into this Family Feud. When's the last time we played Family Feud, and how are we playing this game?
It's been a minute.
Can I be the? I want to be the guest.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can be the guest. Why the hell not? I was actually going to suggest it because I can't remember the last time you did.
I think it was Dorenzo. Jason Dorenzo played.
He played. Yep.
I think he played. Was the last time we played.
But yep, he got when to we be had the guest
when we had him on. Yep.
I never get to be the guest, Dave.
I'm excited. All right. For this.
So you have three to choose from. This is the most fun part, is when it's picking your category. You ready, Swags?
Yep.
All right. You have the timer ready.
I was trying to make it look less obvious.
All right. Don't tell anybody you're looking for the timer. All right. So you have three different categories to choose from. Correct answers sound like this. Wrong answers sound like this. You get three strikes. After three strikes, it's Dave's turn to steal. Three categories.
Dave, it's not coming back to you, baby.
I think you're running hot right now, buddy. You're running hot. I like it.
It's that Amari Rodgers.
First category. Some of these are dirty, by the way. First category, millionaire maker.
Okay.
Second category, animal instincts. Third category, bedroom fish.
I'm going with animal instincts.
Animal instincts it is. Thousand.
He's wearing red, that rookie red Rick Fever shirt. I like it.
Dave, pay attention. Pay attention. Dave, he's not going to go.
Did you guys
all the way
notice that I turned my head to you to listen even though I'm wearing headphones?
That's kind of funny.
No, I didn't.
All right. Let me know when you're ready to hit the little timer button.
Oh, it's hit. I'm ready.
All right. Name an animal you wouldn't want looking at you when it sends out its mating call.
Oh. A moose.
Yes, number six answer, a moose.
And I'm gonna also a dog.
Number two answer is dog. Maybe he does run the board. No wrong answers.
I'm gonna gosh. A bear?
Wow!
Bear number four.
How many are there?
He's killing it.
I only have a minute.
Name an animal you wouldn't want looking at you if it sends out its mating call.
A lion.
Number five answer. You have two left. You have the number one answer you still haven't gotten. And number three answer. These are high. So if you don't get this, he's going to have an opportunity.
A cat? A pig.
Wow. Way to lose that
just
lead.
Deflated
you
that.
10 minutes
a
later.
A cow.
Cat, cow, and pig were not the answers. Although pig sounds like a good one.
I thought cow would be good too. I mean,
what
that would
be
disturbing.
What does that mean, Panero? What is it? Sounds like a good one.
It sounds like a wooden cow's mating coming
call.
At me. Oh,
okay. What is the cow's mating call?
I'm also thinking about that Black Mirror episode with the pig. Oh, man, that's disgusting.
I think I'm going to take the number one answer off the board and go with a horse.
Oh my God.
Dang. Are you kidding me? Dang. I would not want to be anywhere close to that thing. Ooh, those things are hung.
A horse wouldn't be that bad. Oh, wow. That's a good point.
Like...
That's what I was saying. All right. Well, you know what else?
There's a difference between mating call and mating balls.
Yeah. You know what else is well hung? The number one answer, a gorilla or ape?
Well, they don't know what I like then, I guess.
And then the number three answer, which I'm really surprised you guys didn't get, an elephant.
Elephant was on my list.
That one should have been picked.
They're very kind creatures. They have great memories.
But
they're very.
Elephant over a cat. Cat was just a bad answer. I think he was feeling the pressure there at the end. He was like on point. And
he
then
won the game.
Cat, cow, pig.
I know the nerves hit me. I didn't want to win. I threw it, Dave. I threw it. You know?
I'm shocked horse wasn't on there. I do not want. No, thank you. I'm going to have nightmares about that horse tonight.
Another amazing show in the books. We won't even put it on the shelf. I am at Swagzilla0G. Follow me. Follow at ArtBarkTV. Also, listen to what at ArtBarkTV said and go follow at FF_Spaceman because he has numerous tweets with some of this information he's been pushing out throughout just the last couple days based on week one. Quickest way to get that information is to follow him. Follow us for ours. But the quickest way for you to see that information is to follow Dave.
Thank you. Thank you, Spice. Ready to pump out some more rookie content. I'm excited. Rookie fever. This was so good to be back. Week one. Yes.
And we'll be shaking up the show a little bit for you guys, maybe adding a segment. We got some fun ideas that are brewing. We just couldn't pull them off week one. And
just a lot to talk about. We knew this was going to be a longer show than we wanted just with week one.
So. Yeah, we knew this was going to be a long one. We were going to try to narrow the 12 down and focus on maybe three or four players, and it was impossible to do this week. So we'll see if we can avoid that temptation next week.
Follow at Rookie Fever. We will continue to try to push some actionable content from that feed for you as well. We are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever, in the morning, fever all through the night, sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night, I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right, rookie fever, when you kiss me, when you hold me tight.
Got the 101 scout and he's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone, size and speed, just on real landing spot, not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. Now we give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame and you. Fever. I'm a fire, fever, yeah, I burn for soup.
So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever, now you got the fever. So she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the
fever. Fever, what a lovely way to burn.
Now you got the fever, now you got the fever.
What a lovely way to burn.
Now you got the fever, now you got the fever.